This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to 5-on-3. We have a lot to talk about. We're about a week since the finale of the Four Nations, so all of your local teams and otherwise are back in action. They have a few games under their belt since the break. Of course, we've got the trade deadline next Friday as well, so we'll touch on your tri-state teams, and of course, we'll talk trade deadline. I'm Grace McCarron, joined by James Burley and Sophia Smith, my lovely co-hosts. Before we get into all the puck we have to talk about, guys, how are you doing today?
You know, I've been better. Devils just got absolutely trounced the other night against Colorado in the midst of what is probably the toughest road trip they'll have all season. And we're getting to that boiling point, right? 60 games, the playoff picture is looking more and more clear. We're starting to see some distance between some of those wild card teams in the Eastern Conference. So starting to bite my nails a little bit more. Devils still in a playoff position, but it's looking less and less like they are a championship caliber team. So yeah, Sophia.
I'm doing okay. The start of the back from Four Nations was rocky, but we've moved on. I'm excited to talk about it today. Well, let's get right into it. Let's start off with the Rangers. We're going to start off on a somewhat positive note for you, Sophia. So, since Four Nations, they've played three games. Last Saturday, lost to the Buffalo Sabres with a final score of 8-2. I had to put that out there. The next day, they beat the Penguins 5-3, and then on Tuesday, they did beat the Islanders 5-1. We will spend some time on that game. Then the Rangers face the Maple Leafs at MSG tonight at 7. I believe our own Lydia Perner will be there for our coverage, opening a four-game homestand. So, I mean, we've got a Rangers and Islanders fan here today. Let's briefly talk about Tuesday's game. The Islanders dropped this one at home 5-1. We had two goals from Johnny Brodzinski, one from Matt Rempe, one from Urho Vaakanainen, and I can't even remember who scored the last one. I think I stopped watching because it was just so painful. But what did you see from the Rangers?
I really liked everyone getting into it. As you said, the unsung heroes of the night really came through. Urho Vaakanainen with his first career three-point game. Johnny Brodzinski, when I was getting the alerts on my phone, and Matt Rempe's goal came up as Johnny Brodzinski, and I was like, Johnny Brodzinski got a hat trick? But no, it was actually Matt Rempe, which is even better. The shots were 37-18 Islanders, which is insane. And going back to the loss on Saturday, Igor was horrific in that game, and I was so disappointed. And even going into the break, I was like, Igor is not, he's not performing the way that he's supposed to, and I was really disappointed. But he followed up the next two games with good performances, so I guess that's good.
Correct me if I'm wrong. They also got outshot pretty badly in that win over Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was 40-16.
That was like they were up against it that whole game. Yep. And you know, that's kind of a game that, you know, you write off like, okay, we come back, it's a back to back. We're just coming off a big loss, and they're kind of outplayed in that game.
100%.
They still came away with it.
They've won 5-3. So
yeah, I honestly, it's getting to that point now with the Rangers, the team that has that much quality and experience. It's like they're starting to win games that maybe they don't necessarily deserve to win. I think that's a good sign when you're getting into a
definitely,
wild card battle.
Definitely.
I think that's something
I've been
to be
waiting
excited about.
For Igor to be stealing games, because it just looked like he was getting outplayed by goalies that were so much worse and should not have been happening. So I'm positive about Igor at this moment, which I like.
I mean, we'll get into that, like an actual Islanders segment in a bit. You talk about goalie stinkers. I mean, Ilya Sorokin on Tuesday was really, really brutal. Got pulled for Jacob Skarik. I think it was in the third period. Again, I did, in fact, stop watching, which I don't normally do. But sometimes you got to protect your mental health.
You gotta do it.
But in other news from Tuesday, Adam Fox did get hurt at UBS. He was holding his shoulder, left the game. He's now on IR, but expected to return before the end of the regular season, which, I mean, tomorrow's March, so it's basically next month at the end of the regular season.
Wow.
And Peter Laviolette was optimistic about both Chris Kreider and Keandre Miller coming back tonight. Any thoughts there on the injuries?
I thought it was funny because
everyone coming out of Four Nations was like, Fox is the worst defenseman in the league. He didn't deserve to be at Four Nations. He's not deserving the praise he has on the Rangers. Like, it was bad. And then he got injured, and it was like, the season is over without him. And I think that it's definitely a huge loss. Everyone else is going to have to step up. As far as Kreider and Miller goes, I think that they're both going to be back soon, which is good. But yeah, Fox being out is a huge issue.
I don't often defend Adam Fox on this podcast. I vividly remember having to argue on behalf of Quinn Hughes in a Quinn Hughes versus Adam Fox debate last year with Chris Carino. Shout out, Chris. But I mean, the Four Nations, was he great? Like, no, he wasn't as good as we've seen him be. But to then come away from that tournament and say that he didn't deserve to be there is ridiculous. He's obviously one of two best American defensemen.
He's getting so much hate. It's crazy.
Like, he didn't block as many shots as Jacob Slavin. I get it, but like, he's still top five defenseman in the National Hockey League on both sides of the ice, in my opinion. I think you know what you maybe don't get sometimes from him defensively, you certainly get offensively. It's a massive loss, not only because what you lose on the ice for the Rangers, for me, that's a leader on that blue line. On a blue line that has had a very back and forth season where guys have come and gone injury wise and form wise. Like, Keandre Miller returned back to the lineup midway through the season and had a rough go of it and then started to play really good hockey. I think the narrative on Miller has kind of shifted a lot.
Yes.
And now in the opposite direction, it's shifted on Fox. So I think it's a bit unfair when you look at it from that perspective. I do think it's a big loss. But, you know, with the momentum that they've kind of been building with guys like Hovak and Einen stepping up and getting, I think now he's on a two-game point streak as well as getting multiple points against New York. So, I mean, I think it's a good opportunity now for guys like Will Borgen to step up in bigger roles, or Hovak and Einen. And I think they both of those guys specifically have shown that they're capable of it. So while it's a big loss on the ice, I'm more concerned about what it means for the leadership back there. I still think that this Rangers team has enough juice, even without Adam Fox, even without 100% Keandre Miller, to sneak back into a wild card position. And with the Devils, you know, we'll talk about it, but the Devils slowly losing their grip on that third place position, I think that's going to be up for grabs coming 5-6 games left in the season.
Interesting.
I'm not saying the Rangers are going to do it. But I mean, Columbus isn't going anywhere. Doesn't look like it, at least. I don't think there's any sense of safety for the teams that are currently either in third in the Atlantic and Metropolitan or in that wild card race.
Yeah, and Fox quarterbacks power play one usually, and I think tonight they're going with five forwards, and I think Toronto's also going with five forwards on their power play, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I never like that.
No,
like,
I know.
Would you play four defensemen on a penalty kill?
Like, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got into the standings a little bit, but I wanted to pose the general question for the Rangers. What do you guys think is, like, their ceiling? If they make the playoffs, how far do they go, et cetera? James, I'll throw it to you first.
I said it a while ago, even when they were really down in the dumps in the early half of this season, I knew that the Rangers were going to find some sense of form. They're going to come back. That 8-2 loss to the Sabres, I want to chalk it up to Igor having been cold, not playing in a game for 2 weeks. You know, maybe if Russia were at the Four Nations, he would have been a little bit more ready to have come back from the break. He looked fantastic against Pittsburgh. So I'm not ready to sit here and say that they're out of it, even though they are back and forth to a degree sometimes. I do think they have enough juice to sneak into the playoffs. I think they get one of the wild cards. And if they get Washington in the first round, for as good as Washington has been, I think they're vulnerable to a very experienced team like New York. And as good as Logan Thompson has been, he's not Igor Shesterkin. You know, you get them in a 7-game series, I'd love to see what the Rangers are able to do. And, you know, if we had said before the season the Rangers are going to upset the Capitals in the first round of the playoffs, that would have sounded stupid because, I mean, we all remember what happened in the playoffs last year. The Capitals were maybe the worst team to ever make the playoffs. They took a big jump this year. No one expected it. I don't know. I love the Rangers to be a surprise team, not only to make the playoffs, but to make some noise in the early rounds.
Yeah, I agree. I want to be positive, and I want to say that they will be in a wild card spot. So I will say that. My concern is just the Panarin, Lafreniere, Trocheck line has been pretty much invisible. Mm-hmm. Like, and not even as a line. Also, they've just been invisible in their separate, like, entities. So if they can get going, and if everyone else, like if Kreider is healthy again, I believe that they can beat the Capitals just because it was like last year happened. And I think that like you said, Washington is vulnerable and would be vulnerable against a team like the Rangers. But I think that everybody has to be on their A game, which is how any team should be. But going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of time with one Lydia Perner, and she's generally very not optimistic about the Rangers at points. And I get it. I do. I certainly feel the same way about my own hockey club. But I think this Rangers team, they have too much talent to really like miss the playoffs. Like missing the playoffs after the run they made last season is outrageous.
They're only 4 points out of a wild card.
Yeah.
Round.
Yeah,
that's 2 games.
And they have
that's
a game in hand. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So JT Miller, too, for them to make that trade and then not have it materialize to anything would be a shame.
Absolutely.
And then now they've got Mika Zibanejad playing on his wing.
Yeah.
Certainly not something we would have expected early in this season, but I think that for Mika, that was something that needed to happen in terms of, you know, getting him back into his into his game, into his character. And then, you know, Miller's a guy who, you know, has that fourth line type of mentality, but top six talent. So I think that once Kreider, you know, gets back into the team, maybe Will Cooley drops back into the bottom six. But I've loved the way that the Rangers bottom six has looked.
Yeah, me too.
While their top six has been, you said, invisible, that Trocheck line hasn't been great. I do think that they've made up for it in terms of their grinders.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, final thing on the Rangers segment. The trade deadline is March 7th, a week from today at 3 p.m. What should they be doing in the next week?
It's all kind of up in the air just because of Fox. And then I personally want to see Lindgren gone and trade for someone else, a defenseman, Chris Tanev or Ferraro. But I don't know. I feel like nobody is, like, the Rangers are not, nobody's talking about anything. I haven't heard any rumors. So, but yeah, in my mind, a defenseman, just get rid of Ryan Lindgren.
I'm not sure who, like, would be the top sort of defenseman on the
block
either. Right now.
Yeah.
I feel like, I know Provorov's name has come up, but now I'm thinking, like, are Columbus going to even sell? Like, they're in a position right now where they could really make the playoffs. I think Ristolainen is one that has been coming up. I mean, Philly is kind of now dropped out of that race almost entirely. Not necessarily on points, but I think in terms of just their prospects on making the playoffs, it's pretty low. Ristolainen's a guy who would not only add size, but would add some skill to that to that blue line in a way that maybe Lindgren doesn't. So I like that idea. And I think Lindgren's another name that he's probably the third or fourth highest defenseman that's been talked about that might, you know, be on the trade block somewhere. So I don't know. I think it's tough. The Islanders are in a bit of a different, or not the Islanders, the Rangers are in a bit of a different situation than the other two teams we're going to talk about because they've actually made moves this season.
They've had
roster moves already. So I don't know how busy they're going to be.
I can see Drury making some small move, but I don't see anything like major coming.
One thing I was reading about was since they moved Mika to the wing, are you guys, like, looking for an upgrade at third center, or are you okay there?
I guess we lost Hedel, right? So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
But that's, like, not an emergency.
Yeah,
I feel like
not.
There's no emergency with
exactly,
the Rangers,
which is
you know?
Good. It's yeah. good position to
better
be
way
in.
To be. All right, let's turn it over to the island. Since the Four Nations break, the New York Islanders have gone 1-2. On Sunday, they lost to the Dallas Stars 4-3, and then we talked about what happened on Tuesday, and then Thursday, yesterday, they beat the Boston Bruins on the road 2-1. Tomorrow at 12:30, they face the Nashville Predators at UBS. I will be there. Hopefully that one ends well. I don't even know what I'm rooting for anymore because it seems as if they go on a winning streak in the next few games that we might not get much selling on the island, and I think that's what they need, but we will talk about that. So, one thing that I found interesting earlier this week, after the game against the Rangers, the next day, Patrick Waugh, like, tore into the team during practice. He was, like, which I don't, in my experience, have not seen from him very often, at least in post-game stuff, but he was tearing into the team because a lot of the rhetoric following the Rangers game was, oh, we played well, you know, they had more shots, you know, all of that. We just got unlucky, which has kind of been a theme with them. But he was tearing into them, saying, like, that doesn't matter, et cetera, which I thought was good. I think they need that sometimes. And then we talked a little bit about what happened with Sorokin against the Rangers. He had a nice bounce back against the Bruins last night, 37 saves. So I can't hate on that. Guys, what do you think of the Islanders so far?
To speak about Sorokin for a bit, I think losing Varlamov has been worse for him specifically, meaning Sorokin, than it has than a lot of people maybe realize.
Absolutely.
Having that tandem back-to-back not only took a lot of pressure off Sorokin, but it also gave him a lot more rest. This guy has not had the opportunity to sit out on games because they don't have a high-quality NHL-level backup goaltender. Like Semyon Varlamov, if he had the legs that he did 5-6 years ago, he would be good enough to start on a lot of NHL teams. So having him on the IR for most of this year has made Sorokin's job tougher. And I think now that, you know, they needed that win over Boston. Absolutely needed it. And now these last three games before the break, all three are local. You've got two at home and then one at MSG against the Rangers. You know, you want to get a little get back on your biggest rival, but also I think this is where we learn what the Islander season is. I think this is make or break right now. If they crumble out of this week and get maybe one out of a possible 6 points, they've got some tough teams to play. It's very, very likely that is the case. I think we start to see the trade talks for the guys like Brock Nelson, maybe even Kyle Palmieri start to ramp up, because those guys have been on the lists all year long. It's just been about, when are we going to find out what the Islanders' playoff chances really look like? We've been here every year, right? Not the best start to the season. They go on a great run come January. It seems like maybe it's getting closer to midnight for the Cinderella run here, because, you know, they came out of the Four Nations, really tough first game against Dallas. They were toe-to-toe that whole night. Yeah. And then they follow that up with a bad loss to the Rangers. They needed to get that win against Boston. If they can ride the momentum from that win into a matinee Saturday win over Nashville, I think maybe I start to eat my words a little bit and they make another push for the playoffs. But if not, I think it might be time to start buying some new jerseys for some new players, because I know Brock Nelson's a fan favorite. I can't see him being a New York Islander if they're out of a playoff race come next Friday.
Yeah, I
agree. And they should beat Nashville. Like, Nashville is a team that they should be in. Solid win over if they want to be in that position. What do you see about Brock Nelson and trade rumors and this team, sellers, buyers, going into the deadline?
Well, the theme with Lou Lamoriello's tenure with the Islanders is that he doesn't want to sell.
Right.
He always has, like, when he talks to the press, he's always very like, yeah, I think these guys are capable, blah, blah, blah. But to me, at some point, you have to accept that even if they did somehow sneak into the playoffs, and it's now with the recent, like, even before, right before Four Nations, they lost a couple of games as well. You have to kind of be realistic and think, like, even if they snuck in, they're not going to make any noise.
Exactly.
It's not like the Rangers. The Rangers are going to get in and, I think, do something. Islanders are not better than any of the other teams that they would be facing. But I think there's something to be said for he's not going to do it. But I think Lou should think about dealing Brock Nelson, dealing Kyle Palmieri. They're both on the expiring contracts. I mean, hope, like, Brock Nelson is high up in the record books for Islanders stats, so it would suck to see him play for someone else. But I mean, maybe hope that he can come back next season for the Islanders. I don't know. I also want to, what you said about Varley, James, I think another problem has been that we had the Marcus Hoberg miracle run, and then
he's there too. Yeah,
so their backup goalie is someone that's probably really not, I mean, Skarik is, like, not really, and he's a little bit on the fringe of the NHL caliber that you want. And as fantastic as Ilya Sorokin generally is, aside from the occasional stinker, it's tough to ask that much of him and then have the backup be, like, someone that you can't really trust every night. But overall, I think they need to sell, because they're not going anywhere. It's kind of year after year.
Yeah,
with this
I was going
to
say that, because like, it just seems like they're always at this position at this time, and then they make it, and then nothing happens anyway. So
yeah. They also have had, I mean, I'm not going to make excuses because they also have not been playing well, but, like, they've had some injuries that are pretty catastrophic. Matt Barzal going down for the foreseeable future is bad. Their defensemen have been pretty banged up. Ryan Pulock was out for a little bit. So was Adam Pellick. Mike Riley had his heart condition. He's actually back to contact. That was announced today, so that's fantastic news. But overall, I mean, they've had a lot of stuff to play through this year, and I think they've made a good effort to keep themselves in the race. But that said, even if they snuck in, I don't think they're going to go anywhere.
I think there's just too many good teams they have to pass.
Yeah. And I don't, like, you know, they had the magical run. You were saying, James, like, they had the really great 7-game run where they beat some really, really good teams. They beat Vegas. They beat, now they're not coming to me, but they beat, I remember the Vegas game very clearly because I was like, wow, maybe they are legit, but they beat some really good teams, but they're not that team all the time, and that's kind of what they needed to be to even sneak in. So
for what it's worth, the exception being that bad loss to the Rangers, they've come out of the break and have played good hockey. I thought they were arguably the better team against Dallas. It's a tough game to win, obviously. They outplayed Boston, and right before the break, they lost a couple, but they were right there against the Jets. That Wild Islander score looks worse than it is because of an empty netter, but I do believe that, you know, this week we're gonna really find out what the future looks like for the Islanders. I think I love Lou Lamoriello, but I think his style of managing a hockey team is a little bit too old school at this point. I think if he really wants to, you know, push this franchise forward, I think he's going to have to make some tough decisions on March 5th, 6th, and 7th, because if they don't get 2 out of 3 wins at least in those next 3 games, I think they're toast for the season. And I think it'd be, and I'm not trying to punch down on anybody, I really do think that they have to start, you know, moving the needle in a different direction in order to move things forward, because like you guys said, they've been in and around the playoffs every year for the past several years, but are they really, you know, pushing the envelope beyond the first round? And even if they had gotten out of the first round against Carolina one of those times, would they have gone on a run like we saw in 2018, 2019? Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if this group is capable of that. But I love the roster construction of this team. I really do. I think they have depth in the right areas, except in the top six, because losing a guy like Barzell, I know that sounds silly, but losing a guy like Barzell is, you just don't have the scoring anywhere else. They're role players. I love the role players on this team. I think the blue line, with the exception of one Tony DeAngelo, is a bunch of likable guys who play the right style of hockey. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been able to work out. The timing for things has been bad, and I do think Lou Lamoriello has held them back more than he's helped them.
Do they still have the worst power play in the league?
Oh, I didn't even mention that. Yes.
They still have.
I forgot
about
that.
Is it the very worst?
I think it is. I think it might be the worst.
That's not great.
Because you're not going to make the playoffs like that. And you're not going to do anything in the playoffs with that.
I don't remember the exact number, but I was watching the pregame last night, and it's like the past few games have been especially bleak.
Oh my gosh.
So actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I would have totally forgotten. But yes, their power play is excruciating.
11%.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really bad.
Yeah, moment of silence for our power play. But there was one more thing I was going to... It feels like, to me, as like an Islander fan and also a reporter, like, I feel like the only guy we haven't had injured this year is Anders Lee, who actually has had a really good season. So,
good
just
for him.
Wanted to shout out my captain.
Shout out the captain.
Yeah, and
one of the more underrated players in the entire NHL.
Absolutely. Also a fantastic guy with the press. So, flowers all around for him. But also, shout out Alex Romanov. Goals in his last 2 games, and he's also fantastic.
On my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
All right, so we already talked a little bit about the trade deadline for the Islanders, and we talked about, I mean, across the board here, are we saying they're not going to make the playoffs?
I think it would take a miracle at this point.
Yeah, it's just like there's too many teams that they have to pass to get there. I don't see the Rangers and the Red Wings and everyone just giving up and then the Islanders sneaking in. I don't see that happening.
Absolutely. Well, we can head down to New Jersey now.
Let's do it.
Since the Four Nations break, they are 1-2, you know, up and down. Last Saturday, lost to the Dallas Stars 4-2. Sunday, beat Nashville 5-0. Nice little shutout there. And then Wednesday, bit of a stinker against Colorado. 5-1 win for the Avs there. They head to Utah to play them tomorrow at 9 p.m. James, I'll throw it right to you. What do you think of the Devils right now?
Before we started the show, I said the Devils are frauds, and I think it maybe is a bit harsh, because, you know, they're a playoff team for sure, but I mean, this roster, if I'm going name for name, player for player, position for position, there's no excuse that this team should not be fighting for first place in this division. Top to bottom, they've been healthy enough. I think that this team had the juice to be a contender for first place in the Metropolitan Division. And maybe I didn't think this year was going to be about them challenging for a Stanley Cup, but I wanted them to be in a conversation. I think they have effectively played themselves out of that conversation. They'll be a playoff team. I don't see them getting past the first round, especially not against Carolina, who has had their number, not just for the past few years, because since Carolina's been really the class of the Metropolitan Division, but I'm thinking in Devils history, the Carolina Hurricanes have been their kryptonite in the playoffs. You know, while they've played teams that were better than them and have beaten them in the playoffs, I think back to the 2012 magical run where they beat a President's Trophy challenging Rangers team. They beat a very good Philadelphia Flyers team in that run as well, and you know, took it to six games against a generational LA Kings team. I don't know, that roster doesn't even compare for a second to this team, they just don't have it. They just simply don't. I don't want to punch down on certain players because I do think that, you know, there's system constructions that have made guys like Timo Meier less effective, that have made guys like Dawson Mercer less effective. They've had injuries at the bottom six, but they've been healthy enough where really so many games that they have lost, they should have been closer. 2 years ago when they were as good as they were, they didn't get shut out the entire season. And now they get shut out and lose games by many goals pretty regularly. It's just not good enough for how good they should be. The one bright spot right now, there's a couple. The couple bright spots, I should say, is that in the absence of Jacob Markstrom, Jake Allen has been unbelievable. He has stood on his head for this Devils team. For the past few years, this Devils team has had no goaltending whatsoever. Now it's kind of like they only have goaltending. Their blue line structure is great, right? They play such a smart brand of hockey defensively. But then they get caught on the break too many times because they cough up the puck in the neutral zone and in the offensive zone. They're a bit careless. And that's just what happens when you play a very high-risk brand of rush hockey, very fast hockey. It's going to happen to you, and they've dealt with those punches. It's just now, you know, the end of that Colorado game, they just crumbled. They gave up three goals in just a matter of minutes at the end, and Jake Allen crashed out. Yeah. Literally just got up and was like, all right, I'm done.
I know.
Got off the ice. Apparently he was dealing with cramps in that third period, so the final 2 minutes of the game was played by Nico Dawes, who has come up from Utica in the absence of Markstrom and has been serviceable as well. We've known that he's capable of being an AHL, NHL taxi guy for a couple of years. So, like, I'm saying all these nice things about individuals and things here and there. Jack Hughes has been scoring again. He didn't score so much or at all at the Four Nations. He's been back on the score sheet, but, like, I don't know. It just feels like they're one or two big steps away. And if they really wanted to make something happen, they'd have to do something big at the trade deadline. But they've got a lot of great young pieces that I do not want them to give up. Because, like I said, this year was never going to be about winning the Stanley Cup. I wish they were more of a challenger. But I would be upset if they really went for it and then dealt away a Simone Nemitz or a Seamus Casey and then sacrificed their blue line 5 years down the line. Because I really do think that the next 6-7 years, this Devils team should be challenging for Stanley Cups. It's not going to happen this year. It's just not. But I think, I'm not saying punt the season. I still think this group here is good enough to do some damage in the playoffs. I just don't think they will. And they haven't shown me that.
Do you think it's lack of effort?
I don't want to say lack of effort or lack of leadership, because I do think that the leaders in this locker room are guys you want to play for. I think Sheldon Keefe was the right hire in the offseason in terms of, you know, what he did in Toronto. They struggled in the playoffs, of course, but he got the best out of his young, talented, fast players. It's the right brand of hockey for the Devils to be playing. It's just they just haven't gotten it to gel. I don't get the sense that they're having fun out there.
Okay.
Maybe that contributes to a lack of effort. You know, if you're not enjoying something, you're not going to do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I feel like the vibes are just down, down, down. A 5-0 win on the road against Nashville, for as bad as the Predators have been this year, that should still be, you know, galvanizing in some way. But for me, it wasn't. I thought that loss against Colorado was demoralizing, to put it lightly, actually. And, you know, for my money, that this road trip that they're on, it's the biggest of their season. Like, this is how you divide yourselves. This was going to be, can they withstand this road trip and then come back home and have a little bit of space between them and the wild card? I think that space is just going to get tighter and tighter. I don't believe the Columbus Blue Jackets are anywhere near as good as this Devils team, But if the Blue Jackets finished ahead of New Jersey in the standings, I wouldn't be shocked. And that hurts me to say. They've got to go now on the road to Utah tomorrow. It's not an easy game. They've got to go to Vegas after that. The day after that, back-to-back, not easy. And then they got to finish that road trip in Dallas before welcoming the Winnipeg Jets to New Jersey next Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a tough stretch. But, like, you know, when you lose games here and there, when you lose games to the Sabres, when you lose games to the Flyers, when you lose games to the Canadians and Senators, you know, you really put a lot of pressure on yourselves to win games in March. They have to win some of these games in order to stay in a playoff race. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the Devils are in that top caliber of teams in the NHL. They should be. Their roster speaks to it. They have two superstars on the forward. I mean, they could have four if you count Hischier and Meyer. But, like, Bratt and Hughes have been kind of carrying everything around. Hischier has been too busy having to play on both sides of the ice. And Timo Meyer just hasn't really found a position yet on this team to be that 40-goal scorer he's capable of being. So I don't want them to blow it up and try to find a big piece, a Brock Besser type to bring the top six forward into a playoff run. But I think they're gonna have to bite a bit of a bullet this year and say, hey, we got to go back to the drawing board and figure out what works for us, because we have all the pieces, just it's not working on the ice.
Yeah, well, the one bright spot, you mentioned Jacob Markstrom. I read this morning, could return as early as tomorrow against Utah. He's been out for a little over a month with the sprained left MCL. Mm-hmm. He participated in two full practices with the team this week. But as you said, that has not really been the biggest issue.
It's not been the issue at all.
Because Jake Allen has really stepped it up. But you touched on it a little bit at the end there, James. What should they do in the next week before the trade deadline?
If Tom Fitzgerald is sitting in the front office in New Jersey and is saying, you know, the opportunity is too good not to try to make a push for the playoffs, which I understand that mentality. You know, you only get so many seasons in the NHL with your best guys. While 6-7 years sounds like a long time down the road, these seasons, they go fast, right? Like, I feel like 2 years ago, that Devils run into the second round of the playoffs felt amazing. But if that becomes the crowning achievement of the Jack Hughes era of the New Jersey Devils, yeah, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Really
one
sad.
Series win over the Rangers, it was awesome. It felt great. I was out there. I went out after game 7 and I enjoyed myself, but like that can't be it. This team is too good for that. So I understand if they're coming from a position where they're like, "Okay, we need to go after it. Let's go get a Brock Besser. Let's go help out our center core. Let's get a Brock Nelson even, should he become available." I wouldn't hate it, but then if that means they have to send one of their better young defenseman prospects the other way, or future draft picks, I would be a little like I would only be okay if they sent draft picks, because Seamus Casey is too good. Seema Namich, for as bad as he's been this season, is too good. He's a second overall pick 2 years ago. Can't get rid of that guy. Dawson Mercer, I love, but he's a name that always gets brought up in trade talks. I wouldn't want to see him go away. I think he's part of what the Devils are trying to build moving forward. He's the perfect middle six guy for what they need to be. I think that if they wanted to do it, that would be the way that they'd have to go. But I really hope that they don't make any big moves, and then they say, okay, we believe in this group. If they can't get it done this year, they'll get it done next year or the year after. But, you know, the seasons, they go. And I don't want to be looking back on the 2024-25 season and say, well, you know, they punted that away, and then they do the same the year after. And the year after.
It's fascinating that their only playoff series win was against the Rangers that year in, like, the past few years, right? Because then after that, the, like, Carolina series right after that,
they got pummeled.
Yeah, it was, like, horrendous for them. So this team is, like you said, like, they're so talented. And to have virtually nothing, almost nothing to show for it in the playoffs is crazy.
And this is with guys like Stefan Nason having career years. Like, he's going to be a 20-plus, 25-plus goal scorer at the end of the season. He's been an unbelievable reacquisition, because he was now in his second stint with New Jersey. Guys in the bottom six, Paul Cotter had an amazing start to 2024. Dried up a little bit, but has been a great role player. And then the blue line has been phenomenal. Jonathan Kovacevic has come in and has been one of the best shutdown guys in the league. Losing Siegenthaler to injury stinks, because he's one of the best defensive defensemen in the NHL. But, I mean, it's You said it, Sophia. This team is too good to be this bad. And I say bad relatively because they're going to be in the playoffs. It would take a disaster for them to miss the playoffs at this point. But they should be much better than they are. Yeah. And that's what's frustrating me.
You know what I read this morning was that the Devils should consider bringing Kyle Palmieri back.
I love Kyle Palmieri. That's a Jersey boy. He's not only is he a former Devil, he grew up playing for the youth Devils, for the New Jersey Rockets, teams that I would play against growing up in North Jersey. I love Kyle Palmieri. I would love to bring him back. I don't think he is the answer to, you know, finding that extra level, but I certainly think he would bring what they're missing in their third and second lines in terms of scoring. I think he would be a great addition. I also read that they should be in the market for Brad Marchand, who I don't know if I can see that guy playing in any other color that's black and yellow.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And look, I don't like the guy. Every team does need a rat. The Devils, the Devils are not a team that I look at that roster. None of those guys really like intimidate me.
That could be
something that they need, and that's been talked about for a while about this Devils team.
That'd be scary. I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd love it either. I'm used to. Plus, Jesper Bratt already wears 63, so like, what are we doing there? Yeah, it'd be tough to find a place for Marchand in that locker room. Not that he couldn't fit. He's a little guy, but you know, no shade. I'm a little guy too, but it would be tough to have to root for that guy. You know.
Yeah. All right, well, turning it over to the rest of the league for the trade deadline, as I said, 3 p.m. Eastern time on Friday, March 7th. So 1 week away, and 1 week all the trades will be in, and it'll be over. What's one other team besides the three that we've talked about that you guys think should be buyers? Sophie, I'll throw it to you first.
I think that the Red Wings need to make some sort of move just to solidify their spot because they've been playing really good hockey, and I think that they need to add to it. And then sellers, which you didn't ask, but I think that Buffalo can get rid of
everything.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yes. It just is not working there. And we've seen so many players go from Buffalo and then have so much success that like they need to just start over. I don't know. It's not working now. Like Dylan Cousins, I think is the name that's being thrown around a lot. So just get rid of some of them and let them have their success other places because Buffalo's not the place to do it.
You took mine for buyers because I do think Detroit are in a really good position because they've been, you know, they've been on the edge, right,
yeah,
for a while now. They've always been improving, but can they be a playoff team? So I would say Detroit should be buying. I think Utah, it has an opportunity to sneak into a playoff with the Pacific Division. Like, I know Calgary has now hit a good stride lately. Calgary's not a playoff team. I think Utah, they're 2 points out of a wild card in the West.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, I think they've been sneakily, like, consistent. They haven't been amazing. They haven't been terrible. They have a -7 goal difference. So, you know, they're right around there in the middle of the league. I think that they, you know, one or two players here and there. I think scoring is got to be their priority.
Clayton Keller has 8 points in his last four games.
Yeah, he's a dog. So, a dog. I think one name that has come up, which I'm shocked to hear this, is that Mikko Rantanen. Should the Hurricanes not be able to sign him before the trade deadline? I think that's a name that gets brought up a lot. I think a lot of teams call Carolina for that. I think that would be to put him back in the Pacific Division would be hilarious, but I do think that's something Utah should consider because I think they've got a good foundation for the future as well. If they can lock down a top-level scorer like Mikko, who's only 28, he's got, you know, solid years left in his prime, should he not re-sign with the Hurricanes? I love Utah to be a buyer, and I know we kind of mentioned in passing because I mentioned Marchand, but I think Boston, it's time to start looking around that locker room and saying, how many of our best players are young guys? And they got to be honest with themselves. It's not many. I think that while maybe Marchand's a guy you keep around, leader, you know, was with that old guard, Stanley Cup, I think that's a guy you keep around and say, this is our example. This is the kind of player you want to be. I think that they're going to have to make some moves here and there. Obviously, they still got star power with David Pastrnak, but I don't think they're a playoff team this year. I think they're going to be in a race to it. They might be in it to the end, but if I were if I were in Boston, I'd think about selling some big pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. You took my seller on that. I also
sorry
the
about that.
No, that's okay. Yeah, one thing about them actually is, I mean, they've been hit with the injury bug lately as well. Hampus Lindholm probably not coming back this year. Charlie McAvoy got hurt at Four Nations. We're not sure when he's coming back. And then their GM said that they're probably going to take a more cautious approach. Mm. So that's kind of a little bit of confirmation that they are not going to be selling. But my buyer, this one's probably like not that sneaky, but the Jets from a business, I'm going to introduce some business statistics here.
Let's do
because
it.
I was reading some stuff that I found very interesting. This should be the Jets' year to go all in. Obviously, they've been pretty much at the top for the entire, or right there, for the entire year. One of the smallest markets in the league, they might be struggling to keep up when the salary cap in 3 years goes up to $113.5 million. They might be struggling to keep up with other teams that spend a lot. And with this momentum that they've had, they have the obvious Vezina winner. They have the best power play in the league. They could probably use... I mean, there's not really, again, as I think we said with the Rangers, it's not really like an emergency mm-hmm. that they need with the, or emergency piece that they need, but maybe a defenseman, another center, just bulk up a little bit, you know, can't hurt.
Yeah.
And they also have cap space to spend. If they don't make any moves, I believe, for the next week, they'll have $12.4 million in cap space. So.
I love the Jets to be a buyer because, you know, now this isn't the first time that they've gone into the playoffs with a very good regular season, Hellebuck's playing like the best goaltender in the world. I think he's kind of been the consensus best goalie in the world for 2 years now. I don't think many people are arguing that anymore. And then they've still fallen flat. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to dig into some of their cap room and say, hey, let's get another high-end scorer. Let's get another high-end offensive defenseman. They don't really have that in terms of their D-line. They have a great foundation defensively, but outside of Josh Morrissey, not a lot of their defense, you know, moves the puck forward. And I think that that's an area where they could really improve. I think that, you know, they've been around but have fallen flat in the playoffs. You know, if they brought in a Brock Besser type, I think that they become a lot more scary. I'm thinking about, like, teams that have players that want to send them to cup-contending teams. I think Winnipeg, maybe not geographically, is mm-hmm. the best destination for it. But on the ice, like, I think that that's a great team. That, like, if I'm a player on a bad team and I know it's possible that I'm going to get sent somewhere else, Winnipeg would be towards the top of my list because the cup chances feel so real. And I do feel like they might need that help in order to get there, get over the hump.
I mean, I don't want to say that history repeats itself, but just last season, they just got exposed by Colorado in the first round. Like, Hellebuck and the defense, there's so much scoring, but like on both teams for that series and so I would say like they definitely need to add something somewhere to make sure to prevent that from happening again. But yeah,
well, there's nothing else. I guess that's gonna do it for this week's episode of 5 on 3. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Grace McCarron alongside James Burley and Sophia Smith. We will be back next week to recap any trades and, of course, cover our tri-state area teams in whatever place they may be in. So long. Thank you for listening.